And turn with me, if you will, to the New Testament book of 1 Peter, chapter 3, beginning at verse 8. We are reading today from the New International Version, and our entire scripture lesson text can be found on the insert in your bulletin and on page 639 of your pew Bibles. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. Finally, all of you, live in harmony with one another. Be sympathetic. Love as brothers. Be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult, but with blessings. Because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. For whosoever would love life and see good days must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from deceitful speech. He must turn from evil and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear what they fear. Do not be frightened. But in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. It is better, if it is God's will, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. For Christ died for sins, once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive by the Spirit. Pray with me this morning as we examine this text with this thought in mind. Called to receive blessings. Called to receive blessings. Let us pray. Our Father and our God in heaven, we thank you once again for the privilege and opportunity of standing before these thy people. And Lord, we pray now that the words of my mouth and that the meditation of all our hearts will be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Let the redeemed of the Lord say, amen. When we hear someone say that they've been called, we generally think about someone who's been called into the preaching ministry. But the fact of the matter is, everyone who has been saved by Jesus Christ has been called into God's service. No one is saved to sit. We are all saved to serve. So if you're a child of God and if you are sensitive to God, then you have discovered that God won't let you stay as you are. God is making you over in the image of his Son. And from the Bible, we learn that since God has saved us, there are a few things that God has called us to do. We have been called to have patience, which is the signpost of faith. Patience tells you that there's faith working in your life. If you're able to have patience when others are run out of patience, that says that faith is doing some things in you that it wasn't doing before. We've been called to have a new strength. Well, the Bible says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We've been called to have a new hope, a divine hope that's based on the sure promises of God. We have been called to a new love, an ability to love which goes beyond our previous capacity to love those who love us. But we can now, with the aid of the Holy Spirit, love even our enemies. We've been called to the assurance of victory over the tribulations that happen to us in this life through the power of Jesus Christ. And now Peter, in his first letter to the church in general, informs them that they have been called sometimes to suffer for the Lord, but always to receive God's blessings. And what Peter wrote to believers then is still true for believers today. We have been called to receive God's blessings. But to receive the fullness of God's blessing, we must walk godly. But the question is, how do we do that? What does it take to walk godly in an ungodly world? The answer is in the text. So let us turn to the text to discover the requirements for walking with God. Verse 8, Peter says, finally, all of you, live in harmony with one another. Be sympathetic. Love as brothers. Be compassionate and humble. to receive God's blessings, we must be willing to show love. We've been called to brotherly love. And in the very first verse of our text, Peter gives us five virtues that should be evident in those who walk with God. Harmony, sympathy, brotherly love, compassion, and humility. But how do we live up to this high calling in a world that's so mean and hostile? We do it by following the examples in Scripture. First of all, it says harmony. The Bible says in Romans 12:16, live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Don't be conceited. Pride and arrogance are the enemies of harmony. The church has strength when its members work in harmony. That's the plan of God. What one member lacks, God has supplied through another member. For example, look at the elements iron and carbon. Iron is strong, but it's brittle. You can break iron. If you bend iron, you break it. And look at carbon, it doesn't have any strength at all. But when you add carbon to iron, you get steel, which is both strong and flexible. It doesn't break. It maintains its firmness. And that's how the church of God should be. And that's how the church of God will be when we learn to work together in harmony. Second thing we should have is sympathy. The Bible says, rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. The strength of Christian fellowship is in sharing the hardships and the joys. When you stop and comfort a brother or sister in pain, you don't know when your turn will come. But you can be certain that your turn will come. None of us came here to stay, and what goes around comes around. But the strength of Christian fellowship is that our sharing comes from the heart, and therefore it reaches the heart. And what we pray here is that God will draw us so close that one cannot fall for the other. One cannot fall into despair or into sorrow because of the support of the others. And that's what we're called to do, to come together to support one another in joy and in sadness. That's how God strengthens his church. For example, I think about illustration way back when I was in the Army many years ago, and we'd go in, especially basic training. They'd take us out and work us like a dog all day in the 100-degree sun. Then they tell us we could rest for a while. Well, out in the field, we couldn't bring any chairs along, so you had to sit on the ground, and there was nothing to support your back. And what we had learned, when two soldiers sit together, their backs, one back supports the other, so the other soldier is your leaning post. And that way, two tired individuals can support one another by just being there and one against the other. And that's where the church should be. We're called to take each other up and support us, to be that leaning post that they can lean sometimes when they're weary. That's what God has called us to do. That's what Peter was talking about. Brotherly love is the third thing. The Bible says, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another. The scripture gives us a guideline that is entirely different from the motto of the world. The world says you better get yours while the getting is good. But the Bible says that we should give preference to one another. We don't always have to rush to the head of the line for fear that everything's going to run out before we get there, because we know who controls the blessings. We know who's giving out the blessings. And we know that God is still controlling. We cannot lose what we give up to God. You cannot lose anything that you give up to God. Peter tells the church how to show compassion. He said, think of the compassion that the Lord Jesus himself had when he spoke the words in Matthew 11:29. He said, take my yoke upon me and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. I don't know about you, but I need to find rest in the Lord every day. Every day there's something, a new problem or an old problem that I can't solve. I have to say, Lord, handle this because I can't handle it. Handle it, Lord, so I can take my rest. And I thank God for the day that I learned, and I'm still learning, that I don't have to solve every problem by myself. And then I learned that I couldn't solve any of them anyway. So now I just turn everything over to the Lord up front. And I don't waste a lot of time like I used to, trying to figure things out and how to work things out, when God had everything already figured out and already worked out. So now I just turn it over to him and wait for him to tell me which way to go. Tell me when to go. Tell me when to stay. God knows all these things. So if you're trying to navigate on yourself, you're going to get lost. But if you wait for the Lord, he handles these things. I'm still learning this, but I found out that it doesn't pay to lay awake all night worrying about tomorrow's problems. You know, that's still a problem, but I found out that it does no good, because you can't solve tomorrow's problems anyway. And my Bible tells me that we have a God who never sleeps and never slumbers. So I turn my troubles up to the Lord at the end of the day and get my rest, because it doesn't make sense for both of us to stay up. God's going to be up anyway, so I just get my sleep and give it to him. The Bible also teaches us that we should have humility. It tells us to be like Christ. And the most like Christ that we can be is what's recorded in Philippians 2, 5, and 8, where it says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross." Jesus, the Son of God, humbled himself all the way to the cross. We need to learn humility. We must be willing to show our love because God has called us to love one another. But we must also be willing to show our love because we've been called to a place where God can bless us. A place where God can bless us. Look at verse 9 where Peter says, "Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult, but with blessings. Because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing." If we follow our own instincts and our own nature, we will return meanness with meanness and pettiness with pettiness. God would not be able to bless us if we go there. But if we turn it over to the Father as Jesus did, then God himself will be able to bless us because we'll be bringing honor to his name. The Bible encourages us to leave room for God's vengeance and not try to take vengeance on our own. The Bible says in Romans 12, 19, "Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, 'It is mine to avenge. I will repay,' says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." That is the place where God can bless us, when we have overcome evil with good. Sometimes it takes a lot of determination not to let evil overcome you and to make you bitter and vengeful. But Peter says that we're all called to do that so that God can bless us. And for this reason, we must be willing to pursue peace, because we've been called to see good days. Verse 10 says, "For whoever would love life and see good days must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from deceitful speech." God is able to bless your life and to bring joy to your days, but there's a condition. You've been called to speak the truth. The Bible says, "Let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit." You cannot claim to walk with God and speak evil. The Bible says that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. If your heart is full of evil and deceitful thoughts, sooner or later it's going to come out in a place where you wanted to keep it in. So the best way to control your tongue is to cleanse your heart. If you keep your heart clean, you have to worry about it slipping up on your tongue sometime when you're in the middle of something. Cleanse your heart and your mouth will follow. Verse 11 says, "He must turn from evil and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it." We've been called to righteousness. Living godly is not optional. A lot of folks that think God's going to weigh the good deeds against the bad deeds, and if there's slightly more good than bad, then we're okay. But that's not the way God does it. If you're a child of God, he expects good deeds, not just an average of good, but a pursuit of good. And you're not going to live righteously by accident. You're going to have to make up your mind to live godly in the midst of an ungodly society. Verse 12 says, "For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil." We've been called to walk upright in God's sight. And we know that we're always in God's sight. God watches us. He sees everything we do. And God watches over us. He's always in control of our lives. And that's something we should remember. Remember the Old Testament story of Joseph, the son of Jacob, who was over in Egypt, and his boss's wife, Potiphar's wife, tried to get him to commit adultery with her. And she says, "There's no one here, no one will know." And Joseph said, "How can I commit this great sin in God's sight?" God is always watching us. He's always watching over us, and he's always watching us. To receive the blessings of God, we must be willing to pursue peace. And that sometimes means that we must be willing to suffer for righteousness. We've been called to walk like Christ. Verse 13 says, who's going to harm you if you're eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear what they fear. Do not be frightened. If you follow Christ, this world can do you no harm because your place in God's heaven is already set. Your place in God's kingdom is already set. And if God be for us, who can be against us? One of the most comforting passages of the Bible in all the scriptures is found in Romans chapter 8, verse 35 through 39. It gives us the assurance that once we set our hands in God's hands, nothing can turn us around. Nothing can take us away from God. That passage reads, Romans chapter 8, verse 35 says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, nor any height or depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. If you're in Christ, you're in safety. If you're in Christ, the world can do you no harm. If you're in Christ, you might as well walk godly because Christ has you covered. You've been called to walk like Christ, but you've also been called to be a witness for Christ. Verse 15 says, but in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. We've been called to be evangelists, but your call may require nothing more than to be ready to tell what God has done for you. And if God has done something for you, you should be able to tell somebody about what he's done in your life. You should live your life in such a way that others will be able to see a difference in you and ask why you have such peace and such hope. Then you have an opportunity to witness for the Lord. I don't believe that evangelism necessarily means going around knocking on the doors of strangers. But if we live out our witness for Christ every day, others will see him in us and ask, how can I get what you have? And that's your opportunity to testify for the Lord. And finally, to walk like Christ and to witness for Christ, we must be willing to live by the Spirit because we've been called to walk upright before men. Verse 16 says, keeping a clear conscience so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. We need to realize that the world will be watching our behavior for good or for evil. There are some who sit and wait for Christians to fall so they can disparage Christianity. We need to walk in such a way that our conduct is beyond reproach. The Bible says, avoid the appearance of evil. We've been called to suffer for Christ. Verse 17 says, it is better, if it is God's will, to suffer for doing good rather than for doing evil. Now, sin brings suffering, but sometimes we're called to suffer not because of our sins, but so that God can glorify us. God blesses those who suffer for doing his will. And there's no greater example of the suffering and glorification of the innocent than the example of Jesus Christ. For the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 5:21 that he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Christ did that. He was the example of having no sin of his own. And he came down and God laid all of our sins on him, so that we can have his righteousness as we stand before him. We've been called to live in the Spirit of God through Jesus Christ. Verse 18 says, for Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive by the Spirit. Only by living in the Spirit of God can we walk in a way that's pleasing to God. We must surrender to the Holy Spirit's leading. So now we return to the question with which we began. What does it take to walk godly in an ungodly world? To walk godly, we must be willing to show love. Love declares the presence of God. To walk godly, we must be willing to pursue peace. Peace is the fruit of the Holy Spirit, If we walk with God, peace will show up in your life. It can't help it. It'll show up in your life. To walk with God, we must be willing to suffer for righteousness. As we endure suffering, we are given the opportunity to be like Christ, to do what he did. To walk with God, we must be willing to live by the Spirit of God. God's greatest blessing to us as we remain in this world is the indwelling of his Holy Spirit. He said we'd never be alone. The Spirit gives us strength when we feel like we're too weak to go on. The Spirit gives us courage when we feel like we're overpowered. The Spirit gives us hope when things seem hopeless. The Spirit gives us comfort when we feel like we're all alone. The Spirit enables us to walk godly and to receive God's blessings. We've been called to walk godly so that we may receive God's blessings. In just a moment, I'm going to give an altar call. And it may be that you're ready to walk with God for the very first time. The Lord has been knocking at the door of your heart and you're ready to let him in. If that's your case, when the call is given, you come. You can come as a candidate for baptism or by your Christian experience. But the important thing is that you come. Or if you've already received Christ, if you're in the church, but it seems like your walk with God is not as close as it once was, and you desire that closeness with God that you once had, you can get it back. You can get it back. Just come in prayer and ask the Lord to restore to you the joy of your salvation. If that's your case, when the call is given, you come. Or if you just want to thank God for the way that he guides your walk every day, for the joy that he brings to your heart every day, for the peace that you experience in him every day, for the power with which he keeps your soul every day. If that's your case, when the call is given, you come. Come to the altar of God, all who desire prayer. The doors of God's church are open.